Welcome to the Pragmatic Podcast for September 10th, 2008. Fred Dowd, Stripes.
We were able to not only solve this problem that had basically stopped our show. It was a better fit, it was easier to use, and I could tell you that the amount of swearing in the developers area reduced dramatically once we switched to Stripes.
That's Fred Dowd, author of Stripes, and Java Web Development is Fun Again. I'm Daniel Steinberg, and this week, editor Jackie Carter interviews Fred about his book on Stripes. She starts by asking, what makes Stripes different than all the other frameworks?
I think that what really is the sweet spot for Stripes is that it's very simple to use, and it's very transparent. It doesn't do any very difficult to understand manipulations. It really doesn't try to get away from the way that a usual web application works in terms of request and response. So really, it just kind of helps you out along the way, does a lot of the work for you, but it doesn't force you to adhere to any particular way of developing your application. So when you have some very special requirements, you're able to just get Stripes to help you out, as opposed to you having to change your requirements for Stripes to work. Who hasn't started working on an application and then your customer just says, oh, well, I'd like it to be like this. I want this link to be a button instead, or I want this list to be a table, or, you know, all these fancy things that really, from a customer's point of view, they sound very reasonable. And you really don't want to be answering, well, it's going to take a long time to do this because my framework expects this to be a link, not a button, or maybe that the framework wasn't meant to do in the first place. And some frameworks tend to balk when you go outside of their beaten path.
And Stripes doesn't.
No, that's what really attracted me to Stripes. I'm a web framework junkie, if you will. I learned about 12 of them at some point. I was looking at 12 of them at the same time. And I was really trying to figure out which one was the best. And what really struck a chord with me with Stripes is just that. I felt confident that even though none of these frameworks are a golden hammer, and they all have their very strong points, the key factor for me with Stripes was that I felt that there was nothing that I wasn't going to be able to do because there's always a solution that you can find, and Stripes will not interfere.
When you look at all these Java frameworks that are available today, what kind of development environments would benefit the most from Stripes?
I think what's good about Stripes is that it's not a full-stack framework. Now, that could be seen as an advantage or a disadvantage, but to answer your question more specifically, a good situation for Stripes is where you need to be able to choose your solutions for completing the stack in terms of how you're going to talk to your database, how you're going to map your relational data to your object data, if you're going to use any kind of special security mechanism, and so on. And on the other side of the stack, if you're going to use some Ajax framework for your interface, all these things, Stripes kind of decides to let you decide what you prefer. So it doesn't impose any solution on you. That's an advantage when you need to make those decisions. Perhaps a disadvantage if you really need something that just chooses all these solutions for you.
So you're saying Stripes works well with other applications and other tools?
Absolutely. That's the way it's designed. It's designed to be able to hook into anything, really, and without any special requirements.
So Stripes is more action-based than component-based. Can you talk a little bit about the difference there?
So if you look at all the frameworks that we have today in JavaLand, and that's a huge number, most of them you could probably either categorize as action-based or component-based. Stripes is action-based, where it responds to a request by taking a certain action, which talks to your model, maybe saves something to the database and so on, does some kind of work, and then goes to the view to give you the result. On the other hand, a component-based framework tries to make web application development more similar to classic GUI development, where you have widgets, components that remember their state and respond to events. I'd say the main difference between these two types of frameworks is that the action-based framework is a lot closer to the very nature of the HTTP request response cycle. On the other hand, a component-based framework, because it's not the same type of interaction with a web application, it has to do a lot more work for you so that you can be able to develop your application in terms of components.
So does that mean it would run slower?
Not necessarily. It's not necessarily a performance issue, but the main difference that I see, a component-based framework that works well for you is just fine. However, there's no doubt that there's a lot more complexity in terms of the framework itself. So if you look at the code for a component-based framework, I'm sure that it would be a lot larger code base than for, let's say, Stripes.
Uh-huh.
Just because it's more complicated to get it to work that way.
I see.
So if you run into a problem and you start looking at the code, it might be a lot harder to figure out exactly what happened and what went wrong.
So Stripes is easier to work with. It keeps things simple. It's not much configuration at all. Do you use Stripes in your workplace?
Yes. In my workplace, we were using another framework that just happened to be not as such a good fit for what we were trying to do. And we kept running into a lot of problems that should have been easier to solve. And at some point, we hit a wall, and that was my opportunity to suggest that we actually just drop the framework altogether and switch to Stripes. And I was confident that we were able to not only solve this problem that had basically stopped our show, but also that we'd be able to just get things done faster. Because I felt it was a better fit, was easier to use, and I could tell you that the amount of swearing in the developers area reduced dramatically once we switched to Stripes.
So why did you think you wanted to write a book about Stripes? I mean, you've got online documentation, which I understand is pretty good. So what does the book add to that?
Well, like you said, the online documentation is actually quite good. However, I felt that the need to write a book because after participating for quite a while on the mailing list, I found that it was often the same questions that came up. Certain concepts maybe needed more explanations, more examples, and a lot of people were asking, actually, can someone write a book, or is there any plans? And believe it or not, a lot of people also think that a framework isn't quote-unquote serious unless there's a book on it.
So you jumped in to save the day, huh?
Well, I've always wanted to write a computer book. It's been a dream of mine for, I'd say, about 12 years. And it's a question of finding a topic that you're passionate about, that you know a lot about, and that people want to read about. And I thought that this was a golden opportunity.
Tim Fennell, the creator of Stripes, has also contributed to the book. He offers little nuggets of advice and insider tip. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Tim? He sounds like an interesting person.
Yes. When I first started getting involved with Stripes, I noticed how friendly and responsive he was. And this attitude really reflects on the whole Stripes community. Now, when I started thinking about writing this book, I contacted Tim and I asked him, what do you think about me writing a book about Stripes? Because if he had plans to do that himself, I certainly wouldn't want to step on his toes. So he promptly replied that he had no interest in writing a book because it's a huge time commitment that he just didn't want to get involved into. So he gave me the green light, and he offered to help out in any way that he could, really, as long as it didn't involve writing a whole book. Then when I started working with the Pragmatic Programmers, the opportunity came up to have these Tim Says boxes because it's something that they did in the Rails book with David, the creator of Rails. Tim, of course, reviewed the whole book as well and made sure that everything was correct and clear.
Tell us a little bit about how you organized the book.
Well, the outline changed several times, but what really I wanted to do was start with describing Stripes itself, not only how it works, but why it works that way so that the reader understands fully. lots of examples. But I didn't want to stop there because I could just say, okay, here's how Stripes works, and that's it. But earlier I mentioned that Stripes is not full stack.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're developing a web application, you're going to have to solve these problems. So a good part of the book is also about plugging in all these other libraries with Stripes and getting things done so that I'm actually giving the reader a complete solution with Stripes as the main actor, if you will.
What are some of the parts of the complete solution that you're offering besides Stripes?
Of course, I had to choose a certain framework, so I tried to go with what was most often asked on the mailing list and what's really quite popular. For example, Hibernate, Spring, the Java Persistence API. This would complete the stack going towards the database. And on the other side, if you're doing some Ajax, I went with Prototype and jQuery. And I also cover testing with the JUnit.
Stripes is just kind of like the core, and then you place other things around it to complete the stack.
That's right. And what's nice about that is that sometimes you might have a very simple application where you don't really need a whole bunch of other frameworks,
mm-hmm.
maybe just something simple. That's fine. And if you need something more enterprise level, that's fine too. Stripes doesn't impose anything in particular.
How does Stripes make working with Ajax easier?
Well, what's nice about Stripes and Ajax is that there is a small part of Stripes that helps you maybe connect your Stripes part with your Ajax, but really it's very simple and very minimal. Otherwise, you could just use any framework that you'd like, and Stripes doesn't really need to know that you're using Ajax. Briefly, Ajax is just about sending a request without refreshing the whole page, just having a block of the page to be refreshed. So you can easily send a request with an Ajax framework and have Stripes give you this little block of page. The only difference really is that that's what you're doing. You're responding with a section of a page instead of a complete page.
Beyond making working with Ajax easier, there's more that Stripes makes easier, right? I mean, in fact, one of the chapters you have is all about advanced features made easy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Although Stripes is simple, it does try to address some more difficult topics that come along. And may I say that that's also what I think is very nice about Stripes, is that you can get started with just a couple of easy concepts, and you can go quite a long way with just some simple features. But then when you need something a little more advanced, you just learn that, and then you add that on, and you can just advance that way. You don't have to learn everything all in one shot. So I'll give you an example. Something that often comes up in a web application is developing what's commonly called a wizard, where you have a page that's broken up in several pages because it's really just a big form that you've broken up to make it easier on the user. And also because maybe page 2 depends on what you answered in page 1. But managing all this going back and forth is very easily done with Stripes, with just a simple wizard annotation. And Stripes takes care of managing all the data that has to be transferred between each page.
So Stripe provides the wizards to you?
Yes, it provides an annotation that says, okay, I have these pages that I'd like to be managed as a wizard. And Stripes just add some stuff for you to be able to manage that, and you just develop it as if it were one big page.
Interesting. Well, now, talking about validation, I know that several of the chapters do deal with validation.
Yes, in terms of validation, Stripes provides quite a bit of validation in terms of all the basic stuff you'd like to do, requiring a field, maybe limiting how long the input is, making sure the date format is correct, and so on. And it does so with annotations, again, where it's a lot easier to use with annotations to validate this data. And Stripes is very smart about how it validates data. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a bunch of fields that are required, but not only that, let's say you have a number field that has to be at least a certain value and an email field that obviously has to be of the email address format. Now, if you submit the blank form, Stripes is smart enough to realize, okay, you didn't enter your email, so I'll tell you the email field is required. But if you didn't enter the email, obviously it's not in a valid email format, but it won't give you two errors. It'll stop at the fact that you didn't enter that field. So instead of duplicating all these errors that are really redundant, it's smart enough to validate things in a certain order.
What other features does Stripes have that you're particularly proud of?
Well, we talked a bit about validation. I'm especially fond of also the type conversion mechanism, where you tell Stripes, okay, everything on a web page is a string. That's just part of the HTTP specification. However, you have all your objects that you want to use. You're obviously using an object-oriented language. So you're telling Stripes, okay, here comes a string, and this is how you're going to convert it to a person, object, or anything like that. And you plug that in, and Stripes will use it. And I find it's a very elegant solution, very simple to use. You can configure it to say, everywhere I have a person, this is how you convert it. Or you can say, okay, just in this special case, I need to use this type of conversion. So it's very flexible and a very powerful concept. And these types of objects that you create, where you're telling Stripes how to do things, this goes along with the configuration aspect that I was talking about earlier. If you tell Stripes, here's where I'm going to put all my custom modules, you can just drop them in and Stripes will load them right up, and you don't have to change anything in your configuration. So you don't have to maintain this file where you're telling Stripes which classes to load or not to load. You just drop them in, you can change them, remove them, and you don't have to worry about maintaining some file in sync.
Okay, so Fred, I noticed you've got a chapter about the multilingual features of Stripes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, in the book I try to address the most common problems that you're trying to solve when you're writing a web application, but there's a topic that I feel particularly strongly about since I'm from Montreal, Canada, and every web application that I've ever worked on had to be available in French and English. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're lucky enough to be developing your applications for customers that are speaking only one language, you know, you're lucky, but a lot of people have to address these issues. They can be fairly complex, so I devoted a lot of work to the chapter about using Stripes and presenting your application in multiple languages and addressing the issues that come up. It lets you internationalize pretty much everything in the application, and the parts where it makes sense to just use the Java standard tag library, it delegates to that.
That's Fred Dowd, author of Stripes and Java Web Development is Fun Again on the Pragmatic Podcast. Fred was interviewed by editor Jackie Carter. As always, you can find more information about our books, screencasts, and training at pragprog.com. Our podcasts are at pragprog.com/podcast, and you can join the discussion at forums.pragprog.com. The music for this podcast was composed and performed by Andy Hunt. For the Pragmatic Programmers, I'm Daniel Steinberg.